All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Jules, 21 Hours is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Mike Griffith is on. I want to remind everybody, like and share. You can actually share the live feed right now on Twitter. Share a live feed anywhere and everywhere you possibly can. Scooter Magruder is on. Lady Boo is on. Judy Anita is on. Waterline 46 is on. PD Frank is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Granite 2468 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. PSU is on. Mike Griffith is on. Snag Dog is on. Keeper 1376 is on. K4 VMS is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Golf Masters on. Greg Nine Mon is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Phil McCracken is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. PD Frank 1974 is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Sheila K is on. Steven 63 is on. Snod.311 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Let me see who else is on here. LEG is on. Steven 63 is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down just for a minute. Confederate One is on. Stefan Toms is on. Patriot Wolverine is on. Waterline 46 is on. Producer Aaron is on. Volvo 960 is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Let me see here. It's just about everybody. All right, let's hop right to it. Major, major SCOTUS wins today. Trump is in the win column. I mean, big time in the win column. Even though I disagree with him on the Iran thing, he basically won the political aspect of the Iran thing. He basically won it because he did the quick hit, like he said he did, didn't get entangled in a long foreign war. So although I stick with what I said, never should have happened, he ate the crap, got nothing on his face, and walked away, which I never have seen a president do. So that in and of itself, that walk away from Benjamin Liar Netanyahu is a big win. So that's a win in the column this week. Put up the verse before me. Hank tweet, breaking the Supreme Court. Huge wins for Trump right here. Huge, ginormous wins. Supreme Court just put the brakes on activist judges blocking national policy for universal injunctions. We all know what have been going on, what's been going on since the onset of the Trump administration, where you had Norm Eisen loaded to bear on day one. He actually said it, you know, right on a social media post on Twitter, said he had numerous lawsuits ready to go, pulled the trigger on him as soon as Trump was done swearing in. He actually filed the lawsuits, numerous lawsuits against Donald Trump. He's faced over 250 lawsuits and I believe 40 injunctions. I believe it is 40 total injunctions in a 6-3 rule, all by activist judges. Basically, you know, judge shop, find a judge who will, you know, obviously take the left side of things, and they put on a nationwide injunction against a Trump EO or a Trump policy. In a 6-3 ruling written by Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who has somehow or another come back to life, has risen up from the ashes somehow or another. She has come to life. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? SCOTUS said federal courts are overstepping when they issue nationwide rulings, which is, again, why do we even need to discuss this? Because we have to discuss it because radicals end up taking as much power as they possibly can take. And why do we even need to discuss whether a man can walk into a women's bathroom? Why do we need to discuss whether a fully penis man is called a man or a woman, is called by a female name or a male name? There is no reason to discuss it. But the radicals and their actions make us legislate it and make us litigate it. The decision limits the power of district judges to halt federal policies across the country based on one single case. And again, they never had the power to do it to begin with, but nobody wants to step up and say, and by the way, Trump did it right. He really shouldn't have, because it would have caused a political hailstorm. Nobody wants to step up and basically defy these court orders, because then you give the left another talking point that this is a lawless regime. The court's authority doesn't stretch that far, Barrett wrote, granting a partial stay and blasting the practice of exceeding what Congress allows. And this is a vehement 6-3 decision. Finally, we don't have a break off from Roberts. Finally, we don't have a break off from Coney Barrett. Finally, we don't have a break off from Kavanaugh. This is a 6-3 ruling. All six conservative justices did the right thing. And of course, when you're hard on people, as you should be, by hard on people, I mean simply speaking the truth, you also need to praise them when they do the right thing. And they did the right thing here. You have, of course, Sotomayor, Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson, the three leftists. And I mean, again, these are not liberal justices. These are leftists on the order of Joseph Stalin. They, of course, sided against it. Isn't it funny how everybody says you're supposed to treat the court as impartial, but it always breaks down by conservative versus leftist lines? Translation, no more one judge vetoes of American first laws. This is the direct strike against the left's favorite legal weapon, judge shopping in blue district, blue judge, blue jurisdiction, blue jury, to freeze policies they hate. Big win for constitutional order and a long overdue gut punch to lawfare. Go to the next for me, Brett. So here is a snippet. And Aaron, if you could blow that up for me, I can make it out. But just for everybody else, just do the best you can. This is a snippet from Amy Coney Barrett's majority opinion dissertation. So, yeah, just scoot it down just a smidge. I need, like, actually, see where it turns into small writing? You can scoot it all the way down and erase all of that where it turns into the smaller writing on the bottom. Yeah, see that? Right. And then see how it just gets, yeah, there you go. And see if you can scoot it down. No, go the other way. Other way. Perfect. Right there. There you go. Right there. We will not dwell on Justice Jackson's argument. And here's the thing. This is an absolute scorched earth statement. And not only is it scorched earth against the idiocy of the leftist opinion held by Kagan Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson. This is actually a taking out to the woodshed personally of Ketanji Brown Jackson by Amy Coney Barrett. And again, welcome back to life, Amy Coney Barrett. But again, remember and I'm again rightfully hard on these people, just like I'm rightfully hard on Trump. If we get to the vaccine section tonight, that's not going to go well for Trump. And I guess I'm going to be called a fake MAGA by the neocon MAGA morons again. And by the way, you're not a neocon MAGA moron if you were for the Iran strike. That doesn't make you a neocon MAGA moron. You're a neocon MAGA moron if you were wanting someone like me blacklisted because I'm against the strike. I hope you can differentiate between the two. But anyway, we will not dwell on Justin Jackson's argument, which is at odds with more than two centuries worth of precedent, not to mention the Constitution itself. I mean, this is an absolute takedown of Ketanji Brown Jackson personally. We observe only this. Justice Jackson decries the imperial executive while embracing an imperial judiciary. So no imperial Trump administration, but yes to an imperial, right out of Star Wars, the Empire, bum, 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 bum. But yes, embracing an imperial judiciary, which, by the way, if you had to pick, you're better with an imperial president than an imperial judiciary. No one disputes that the executive has a duty to follow the law, but the judiciary does not have unbridled authority to enforce this obligation. In fact, sometimes the law prohibits the judiciary from doing so. Skipping over the legalese. All right, there, my lady. But see, post whatever. I'm just going in compliance with the law. There's nothing more than that, except she's making a bunch of notations. So skip down the last paragraph there. Not you, Aaron. We're good. Justice Jackson skips over that part because analyzing the government statute involves boring legalese. So she's saying that Justice Jackson, Ketanji Brown Jackson, I forgot to do it. I meant to send that in to Aaron. About, you remember, everybody remembers when she was asked, I believe it was by Marsha Blackburn out of Tennessee, what is a woman? She could, this is a person who refuses to define woman as an adult female human. She refuses to do that. And Justice Barrett takes her down in her infantile approach. She takes down Ketanji Brown Jackson's infantile approach to the law. Justice Jackson skips over that part, because analyzing, in other words, she's not doing her due diligence and not putting the time in, because analyzing governing statute involves boring legalese. She won't do the work, which is not a shock. Post at 3, she seeks to answer a far more basic question of enormous of practical significance. There we go. So anyway, so there it is, just an absolute takedown of Ketanji Brown Jackson. All right, go to the next one for me. Eric Doherty tweet. Holy crap, AG Bondi, 35 out of the 40 injunctions were filed in only 5 districts. Play it for me.
It's case by case. Let me reiterate, of the 35 of the 40 nationwide injunctions filed against this president, against his executive authority as president of the United States, 35 of them came from Maryland, D.C., Massachusetts, California, Washington. I mean, that's crazy. these five districts. So yes, it indirectly impacts us. It will be a separate decision in October. Next question.
So you have a very small minority of the country in hyper leftist districts ruling the country via executive fiat, actually not executive fiat, via judicial fiat, national injunctions by a district judge, by a federal district judge, but a district judge nonetheless. So 35, there's 40 injunctions, 250 plus lawsuits against Donald Trump, 40 injunctions that of the, this is the essence of judge shopping, 35 out of the 40, because they couldn't find anybody else to do it. So you have to find the, notice that 35 out of the 40 districts, one of those districts was Maryland, one of them was DC, because that's Boasberg. And numerous, and there's others too, and we've highlighted the names and forgotten them all now because we haven't done it in a while. But anyway, so 35 out of the 40 injunctions filed against Donald Trump were judge shopped and done in five districts. So basically you had five districts, so seven each district if they're divided equally. But 35 out of the 40 were done in only five districts in the hundreds and hundreds of districts in the United States. Actually, I don't think it's hundreds. But anyway, maybe like 78 districts. I can't remember. But anyway, but all done in five. Five districts. I mean, it just shows you that is the embodiment. That is the perfect example of judge shopping. All right, now I have to show you this a little lengthy, about 4 minutes, but it's Bannon's War Room. And this is Mike Davis's summation of what happened today. Play it for me.
Davis, Mike, you have followed this now for years and gave us a heads up about this. Put it in perspective of exactly what happened today and how important is this for President Trump's second term and for the nation overall.
Yeah, these conservative justices may get weak and wobbly from time to time, but overall, this was a very good term. President Trump's biggest and most consequential accomplishment of his first term was the transformation of the Supreme Court to the first constitutionalist majority in 90 years. And we're seeing that today. We saw that early in the term when the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that states can regulate trans surgeries on minors. We saw it today when the Supreme Court held 6-3 that these nationwide injunctions by these activist judges are not lawful. They likely violate Article 3 of the Constitution. We see this today in a 6-3 ruling that parents can opt out for their kids when their kids are being indoctrinated with LGBT, anti-religious nonsense in these schools where they're brainwashing these kids. We saw it with another 6-3 ruling where the Supreme Court held that states can have age verification to make sure that people who are going on to these porn sites are actually 18 years old. It's very confusing to me with these left-wing judges, these three Democrat left-wing judges, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. I don't quite understand what they stand for, because they pretend there is a constitutional right to murder kids up until the moment of birth. They pretend there's a constitutional right to mutilate these kids with trans pills and trans surgeries. They think there's a constitutional right to have kids go onto these porn sites and watch porn when they're young kids. I mean, these women need to reflect on their legal philosophies, and really they need to reflect on their lives, because this is sickening what they're doing. This is not our parents or grandparents' Democrat Party. And frankly, after analyzing these 6-3 decisions, I don't know what the hell these three women are thinking.
Let me ask you specifically, I know you got to bounce, but I want to get you in here, because you and I have talked about ACB, et cetera. She took the gloves off today on Ketanji Brown Jackson and did it in a thing that looked like other justices signed off on. Give me the inside baseball. That's not, you've never really see that in a Supreme Court opinion, do you? This is what, so it got very personal, like saying, what do you stand for? Judicial imperialism? But have you ever seen it get that personal in an opinion from the Supreme Court where the other justices signed off, sir?
No, I have not. And, you know, frankly, I've been pretty rough on Justice Barrett. Maybe feeling the heat has helped her see the light. I'm not sure, but I would say this. I never thought she was a liberal. I never thought that she was Justice O'Connor. I always knew that she was conservative. Sometimes you need people like Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson to go in there and figure out, help Amy Coney Barrett figure out whose side she's on. Is she on the side of these three leftists who want to murder and mutilate kids, or is she on the side of Team America? I think she decided that Team America is probably the better place to be.
And while we're praising the SCOTUS, right? I mean, you remember it was a 6-3 decision that overturned Roe v. Wade via the Dobbs decision. So, you know, that's, you know, we need to remember those things and remember the good stuff, but hold people accountable. Again, that is the very essence of Americanism. That is the very essence of a constitutional democracy, is being able to, you know, voice disagreements. But anyway, so what does this ruling do in particular? Well, a lot of people are focusing on its birthright citizenship, which Donald Trump put an EO out, and I believe it was 22 states immediately adhered to the EO about birthright citizenship, where he outlawed birthright citizenship via executive fiat. 22 states immediately jumped on board and said, we're all in. We will no longer honor birthright citizenship. And I think everybody knows what it is, but basically birthright citizenship are people illegally entering into this country. It's a simplistic explanation. People illegally entering into this country, having babies, and then automatically those babies are deemed citizens of the United States, given full rights and privileges of citizens of the United States, deemed citizens of the United States. You also have a nation, a international market of people actually being brought over here, pay Chinese. I'm trying to remember the numbers. It's tens of thousands per year from China alone. They actually book flights for mothers that are 8+ months pregnant, fly them over here, make sure they have, I mean, I'm talking about it's 20,000-30,000 a year. Make sure they have their babies here. And then they fly back. So automatically those babies are now citizens. And when those babies turn 21, they can then chain migrate the rest of their families into the United States as basically agitprops for the CCP. And it's part of the foreign invasion. Now, of course, birthright citizenship is very specific. I mean, when did it come out? It came out basically the exact second the Civil War ended. That's when it came out, because it's simply addressing the children of slaves being then deemed to be, rightly so, citizens of the United States of America. Because the slaves were actually, most slaves were brought here by force. So then they had babies. Those kids obviously should be citizens. And they were. And that's all that it addressed. And Democrats will say, well, that's not all that it said. Well, you can't say everything in a law. You just have to have some common sense, which, of course, the left is missing. And by the way, of course, the left knows that's what it means, but they're using it to change demographics for the great replacement, to change voters and to add seats to their districts via illegal migration, chain migration, and birthright citizenship. So that's what the argument's about. It's not even an argument. Again, it's like arguing whether a fully penis man should be called Sharon because he wants to be, and go and pee next to your wife in the ladies' room. Why do we even need to discuss that at all? Why do we ever even need to discuss whether a fully penis man can compete at track meets for women? I mean, there's no discussion needed, and birthright citizenship is an absolute joke used by not only the left in America, but the globalist left to invade America. Because again, the purpose of all of this illegal immigration, whether it's birthright citizenship or an open southern border, is to flood our country with illegals that are very easily globally governed because they have no heritage connection to the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So this inherently will give away the rights of an American citizen, even though they're not one anyway. So anyway, so that's what it is. So Numbers USA video, here's another little example of it. President Trump signed an executive order clarifying the definition of birthright citizenship. This is a summation of what birthright citizenship is. Play for me.
Did you know that more than 350,000 births in the U.S. every year are to a parent who is in the U.S. illegally or on a travel visa? That's a lot. What if I told you that each one automatically receives U.S. citizenship? And when they turn 21, they can sponsor their whole family. Visitors who are honest about coming to America just to give birth are not typically admitted. But a global birth tourism industry sells birth tourism packages to clients who are coached on how to lie to immigration agents. A better immigration policy would only grant automatic citizenship to babies born to citizens and legal immigrants.
So does this SCOTUS ruling now make it the law of the land that birthright citizenship is no longer there? They make, man, it's difficult to say it's a double negative. But anyway, does it is now Donald Trump's executive order banning birthright citizenship, is that now the law of the land? Yes, for the moment. Because now what you have to understand is that this ruling is about the injunction against the EO. Aaron, if I go out, let me know. If I make this, if this starts to not sound coherent, just jump on and then I'll know. So the EO, I mean, the SCOTUS ruling makes the injunction now null and void. But it doesn't say that Trump is right about birthright citizenship, but there's no injunctions now against his EO banning birthright citizenship. So what Norm Eisen is going to do next, you need to know who these people are, like Norm Eisen, like the ACLU, like Mark Elias. These are the people that are actually running the country from the left side. So now Mark Elias will immediately file a brief with the Supreme Court to challenge Trump's EO on birthright citizenship. The good thing is, until it gets there, Trump's ban on birthright citizenship is now fully in place. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yep.
That's it. That's how it works. So it is not a permanent, permanent enabling of Trump's ban of birthright citizenship, but it is until it gets to the Supreme Court, and then we will see how much guts. We know. We all know where Clarence Thomas is going to go. Probably no. I mean, some of them. Alito will probably be pretty much you can guarantee that Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito will outlaw birthright citizenship. Now, where the other seven go, we know the three, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor, they will vote to keep birthright citizenship. We know that. But the question will be, what do those other four do? Gorsuch is pretty much solid on our side most of the time. Kavanaugh is usually on our side 70% of the time. John Roberts, 50% of the time. And Coney Barrett, 60% of the time. So we will have to see. But all six of them did overrule Roe v. Wade. We always need to remember those things because Roe v. Wade is no longer the law of the land. It goes state for state. All right, so obviously this ruling by the Supreme Court disallowing national injunctions by district judges has really made the left very upset. So here is Gavin Newsom's response. Play it for me.
But what I want people to know is, gloves are off. Let's go. Enough. We're going to stand up. Truth. We're going to stand up for American people. We're going to stand up for people that are being bullied. We're going to have the backs of people that are scared. We're going to use our formal authority. I'm proud to be governor of the largest state in America. Again, I've said this before to you, 21 state populations combined. But we're also going to use our moral authority. And the extent we need to, we're also going to call out the bullshit and the propaganda and the weaponization of lies and mis and disinformation on networks like Fox. And we'll do it in every capacity on behalf of the people I represent in the state, in an individual capacity, enough. It's time to assert ourselves much more forcefully with character and conviction and have the backs of people that don't have the voice that some of us have and the ability to do what some of us can do. And that's what this whole case is about. And we'll continue to stand tall and we'll continue to power through this remarkable moment in history.
So again, you have these vast generalities by the governor, and he always makes sure that everybody knows he's the governor of the largest state, 12 states combined, population, or 21 states, whatever it was. Blah, 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 blah. We got it, Gavin. But anyway, your state's an absolute abomination, which I'll illustrate in just a minute. But what exactly are these lies? I mean, they say we need to combat the lies. See, if you ever noticed here on the TLP, we list the lies. I never use vast generalities like, let's go beat the left. No, I actually talk about specifics and where everybody's, you just saw a very specific explanation about how this ban on these judges' injunctions, how that affects, specifically how it affects birthright citizenship. So what exactly are these lies? He never says them. And there's a video in the post game I love to play these videos of leftists at a, looks like a bar party somewhere, being interviewed by somebody on the street. Well, you tell us exactly how Trump is wrong, how he's racist, whatever. They can never say anything. They'll just go, haven't you read the paper? Haven't you watched TV? No, tell us exactly. Like I can illustrate to you why it is specifically that I voted against Joe Biden, why he's evil, line for line, example after example after example, specific example. They can never do that, ever. So Gavin Newsom comes out with the vast general statement of we need to fight against the lies and disinformation without illustrating specifically or in any way, shape, or form what are these lies and disinformation. And he says we need to assert ourselves more forcefully. Yeah, good luck, because your ability to get nationwide injunctions through district judges has now been completely removed. And that was the only way for them to assert themselves more forcefully, except for, of course, some sort of, because all of the left here in America are not really American citizens. They are by right, but they are not by nature. They're not American citizens. They're globalist citizens, unless there is some sort of globalist attack on America, whether it's street violence, whether it's more violent protests, whatever. That's the only way for them to assert themselves now, because the fangs of district judges doing nationwide injunctions has now been removed out of their mouth. So good luck asserting yourself in any way, shape, or form. Kevin Dalton video. Let's break down Gavin Newsom as governor. Play for me.
As your governor, I promise you, whatever challenges come our way, I will always lead the California way.
You are literally insane.
I say that's the California way.
Really awesome. Thank you so much.
Based on compassion.
I mean, if we're going to be realistic, they pay you to be homeless here.
Common sense.
Clean and sober is one of the biggest mistakes this country's ever made. We all need to self-medicate periodically.
Telling the truth. Telling the truth. Treasuring our diversity.
Use the fist to hit my...
Telling the truth. Following science. Protecting our planet.
Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.
Gavin Newsom, courage through crisis.
Somebody who governs like that, if someone who governs like that tells you that you're doing a horrible job, then the inverse obviously is true. Now, Rashida Tlaib is also big mad. Paul A. Cipolla video. Rashida Tlaib, play for me.
This is an incredibly dangerous decision by the United States Supreme Court. Folks, wake up. The Supreme Court now says that we can't permit nationwide injunctions against the Trump administration, even on birthright citizenship. They didn't care about the constitutionality of birthright citizenship. They made this decision because they are a bought Supreme Court.
So again, if we were using, of course, if we were using these nationwide injunctions via a district court judge, she'd be, of course, totally completely against it. But because they were using them to slow and or stop the Trump agenda, she's completely and totally in favor of them. And I made Aaron put this pickup because, these people need to ask themselves, maybe I should never have gotten vaxxed, because she gets uglier by the minute. These people are aging at an exponential rate. I mean, seriously, have you looked at any of these people who are vaccinated? I mean, they are aging at an exponential rate, getting uglier by the minute. I mean, I'm serious. This woman, I'm telling you, since 2020, she has aged 17 years and five. Serious. And you're like, Tom, what's that got to do with it? Nothing. I just keep noticing it. I really do. These people are aging horrifically. I mean, it really is not going well. And I hope I get to the vaccine section of the show tonight. All right, let's go to the next one. Libs of TikTok tweet. So here's the other SCOTUS ruling. Big wins. I'm going to talk about three SCOTUS rulings, last one briefly, and even this one briefly. Breaking SCOTUS rules, Montgomery County School Board's use of LGBTQ storybooks without opt-out violates free exercise clause. It leaves this up for me. So here's the thing. Here's and they're like, Tom, you've already said this twice. I know, here comes the third time, because it's what's true. Why is this even a why do we even need to talk about this? Why is this even a debate? That a parent is not allowed to opt their kids out of a sex class? Why do we even need to have this discussion? Why is this even a debate? Why is this even an argument? It is common sense that any parent at any time can say, I don't want my kid in that class. Period. If they get an F, they get an F. I don't want my kid in that class. That's the way that it is. Why is this even a discussion? How in the world, as Montgomery County School System, how in the world would you enforce a parent not taking their kid out? How would you enforce making a parent keep their kid in the class? You're going to tackle them? You're going to drive home and get them? So there's no way for you to actually enforce it outside of failing the child, I guess. And by the way, this court case solely has to do with porn classes. And it's all porn. I mean, it really is all porn. This is not like, you know, everybody. I'm against these two, by the way, but I'm just saying, because this is between a parent and a child. But like, this is not like the sex ed classes. I mean, I'm a lot older than the other two guys in the room here. But back in my day, and I know that's just a repulsive statement, but it just is what it is. But anyway, back in my day, when you had like your sex ed class, it was the most basic of basic, and I'm not even going to get into it. You know, I mean, the description of this, description of that, and this is how it all works. And it was just that. That was it. Now these are porn classes. These are oral sex classes, putting condoms on cucumbers in front of your seven-year-old daughter. This is all fact, by the way. And that's what it's all about. You know, masturbation tutorials. And yet parents, I mean, imagine you don't want your nine-year-old son to go to a class where it's boy-on-boy oral sex being taught. Yeah, I don't want my kid in that class, and you're not allowed to opt out according to Montgomery County school system. Why do we even need to have this debate? This had to go all the way to the SCOTUS to give us back the right we already had. We have to go all the way to the Supreme Court now to institutionalize the rights that are already institutionalized. Schools must now notify parents and allow opt-outs. Why would they ever not be allowed to opt out? Why would a school not have to notify? Hey, you know, I just want to let you know that your nine-year-old daughter, you know, Lisa, you know, today we're going to teach her how to put a condom on a cucumber. Is that all right? We're just notifying you. Yeah, we're going to opt out of that one. Thanks. And what does that have to do with schools? I mean, again, schools are no longer about actually teaching, right? Reading, writing, arithmetic, or even PE. They're really just simply concentration camps of indoctrination. That's all that they are. Why is this even a discussion? I mean, again, why would my kid go to school to learn pre-algebra, algebra, algebra 2, and calculus, and then in the midst of that, learn about how a boy can pleasure another boy? That's all fact, by the way. That's what's being taught. And those are the books that are in the library that the preachers are going to the school board meetings trying to get out. Oh, it's book banning. It's book banning. It's got nothing to do. We're not trying to ban the book. We're trying to not have the book in the school, not ban the book. The court held that reading these books, by the way, again, this is elementary school. So you're having tutorials on putting on condoms and oral sex and masturbation. Not in middle school, which is horrific in and of itself. Not in high school, which is an apocalypse in and of itself. But the Holocaust of having it in an elementary school. Imagine being a Democrat in 2025 and your purpose in life, your meaning, your cause is to make sure that you're teaching eight-year-old boys how to have oral sex with another eight-year-old boy. But we see that with Scott Wiener and Gavin Newsom in California anyway. The court held that reading these books in elementary schools imposes a very real threat to parents' rights to direct their children's religious upbringing. And again, the argument against this is First Amendment and the expertise of educators. Expertise of educators. We're like number 40 on the planet in education. And then we're going to take advice from the experts on education. We do less with a dollar than anybody else on the planet when it comes to education. We spend the most money, and I'm talking about by the hundreds of billions. We spend more money by the hundreds of billions than any other first world country. And we ranked 40th in education. 40th. We're beneath third world countries in education. And the experts are going to tell you, you know, the experts that have got us to that ranking are going to tell you that, number one, that they're experts, and tell you how you should raise your kids, tell you what should be taught to your kids. These are the experts. The experts, again, with no bona fides and no credibility of their expertise, i.e. Anthony Fauci and everybody else behind the COVID hoax. All right, let's go to the next one. DK tweet, just in, 63 votes, SCOTUS ruled that this is the other one. This is the other big Trump win from earlier in the week that I didn't have time to get to. So these are huge wins. Trump is winning left and right. I mean, literally winning left and right. But you notice how I can just surf the wave. I can surf the wave of nuance. I'm against the bombing in Iran, but I am for him tying it off and not turning it into an actual war, a long war. So great job there. I am in favor of him turning his back on Netanyahu's regime change operation. Great job there, but wrong on the bombing. See how that works? You're like, Tom, get past it. No, you have to still continue to address it, because you should have seen it. Maybe you're not on social media like I am, which means you know, it's better that you aren't. But I mean, I have to do a lot of research for the show, so I'm on a lot of different sites pulling this information. But you should have seen what I saw. Well, you have Laura Loomer telling people, I'm going to screenshot your stuff and show the president to Alex Jones and other people. I'm going to screenshot Alex Jones. Like, great. I talked to him anyway. Screenshot. I want him to see it. That's what it turned into. I put together my fake MAGA list and I'm blocking all of them today. I saw all this. You need to be able to say, I disagree with the president, and then acknowledge his great victories and that he has been a great president. I believe he'll still, I said this before, Aaron heard me say it, that yeah, we may be like really ticked off about the Iranian bombing, but I know he's going to do 70 good things afterwards. Yep. I know it. I said that. So I know that was going to happen. That's why you didn't hear me say, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. Didn't say any of that stuff. Who I turned on. And by the way, Trump never turned on people like me, ever. He never did. Rubio never did. J.D. Vance never did. None of his administrative officials ever turned against people like me. They basically just ignored us. That's fine. But the rest of everybody else, I mean, on the neocon MAGA moron movement, again, that does not mean, when I say neocon MAGA moron, I'm not talking about those who are in favor of the bombing. Fine. You have your arguments. Fine. I didn't try to separate myself from you. All of the me would qualify somebody as a neocon MAGA moron are the ones like Laura Loomer. I'm going to screenshot your opinion on this bombing and send it to Trump. Everybody needs to follow Trump unquestionably. How dare you not trust the president? Well, we'll see on vaccinations whether you 100% trust the president in just a minute. So just in, 63 votes, SCOTUS ruled that deportations in the United States, in the U.S. to a third-party country. In other words, this is basically, you could name this the Kilmar-Brego-Garcia decision, where he got deported to his home country, but that he wasn't allowed to be deported to El Salvador because in his final deportation order, there was a withholding order on the final deportation order saying that he could be deported to any country but his home country because a rival gang could kill him there. And leftists then argue that he's not a gang member, when the reason why there's a withholding order on the final deportation order is because he might be killed by a rival gang, therefore proving that he was in fact in a gang. Imagine what it means to be a Democrat today. Imagine what it means. You have to absolutely look at facts, illustrated in data, illustrated in all forms of data, whether it's written, whether it's video, whether it's just evidentiary data, whatever it may be, statistical data. You have to look at factual data and simply deny it. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. But anyway, so now Trump can deport anybody he wants, basically to any third country, any third party country that will accept them. Another huge win. Go to the next one for me. Red Wave Press, speaking of wins, just in, President Trump declares the U.S. will immediately end all trade talks with Canada. Play it for me.
Well, I feel like I'm back in my top 40 radio days because the hits just keep on coming. President Trump now announcing the United States is terminating all trade discussions with Canada effective immediately. He wrote on Truth Social, quote, "We have just been informed that Canada, a very difficult country to trade with, has just announced that they are putting a digital services tax on our American technology companies, which is a direct and blatant attack on our country. Based on this egregious tax, we are hereby terminating all discussions on trade with Canada effective immediately. We will let Canada know the tariff that they will be paying to do business with the United States of America within the next 7-day period. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Donald Trump, President of the United States, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C.
All right, so there you go. Now, again, I don't mean to be mean or harsh, and I know some wonderful Canadian people. This has nothing to do, obviously, with them. It has to do with their government, who is run by Mark Carney. Mark Carney is a WEF, World Economic Forum sycophant, regular attender, dual citizenship, and that's something that people need to look into. Nothing I can do about Canada, but here in the United States, nobody should be allowed to be in governance if you have a dual citizenship. Where's your loyalty?
Yep.
I mean, and again, why is that even an argument? Why is that something that even needs to be addressed?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a dual citizenship, and we make you a senator or a congressman or a woman. I mean, again, where's your loyalty? But anyway, so less than 2%. It's 2% combined with Mexico and Canada. So less than 2% of our GDP, our gross domestic product, depends on our trade relationship with Canada. Basically, it's whiskey and syrup. That's about it. That's what we get out of Canada. And what's great is the globalist leftist bourgeois elitists took away their leverage in this deal because they got rid of the pipeline, the oil pipeline from Canada into the United States. They got rid of that during the Biden administration, shut it down. I don't know if Trump turned it back on or not because I don't think it was fully built yet. But anyway, so 2%, I mean, less than 2% of our GDP is dependent on Canada. And part of the reason why this is happening is Mark Carney's over there making speeches to the European Union with Ursula von der Leyen, that he wants to make them his primary trade partner. Fine, go ahead. And by the way, if you're going to do that golden dome that's over you right now, you need to talk to the European Union about the golden dome of missile protection that the United States supplies to you every day, free of charge. Now the European Union can do that for you. Whoops, they can't because we do that for them too. Basically free of charge until Trump went over to NATO this week. Another big win. I mean, I should have actually written down all the wins that Trump did, that Trump accomplished this week. Another one is he made all the NATO countries, with the exception of Spain, which he says he's going to make up with tariffs. I mean, go ahead, mess with the man. You see, the thing with Trump is he doesn't need the grifter's money. He doesn't need the donor money. He doesn't need it. So he's like, he doesn't have to adhere to the globalist leftist, whether it's the military industrial complex, the medical industrial complex, the DC cocktail party complex. He doesn't need to adhere to any of that because he's got $8 billion in assets. I mean, he could sell Mar-a-Lago alone and live in the lamp of luxury for the rest of his life. And all of his kids could too, just on Mar-a-Lago alone, which is worth $500 million. Despite what Tish James says. So he doesn't have to adhere to any of this stuff. So when Spain says, you know what? We're not, imagine this. Imagine being, and man, this is where I miss grotesque language. I mean, I do miss it sometimes. Imagine, because I just have to substitute it with words like turd. So anyway, just imagine the turd that you'd have to be, glistening white hot turd. You'd have to be Spain. Spain completely and totally relies. This is all about 2% of your GDP. I'll get back to Canada in a second. I don't know. But anyway, 2%, I'm going to, now this is Trump's NATO victory. Trump's NATO victory was everybody in NATO is required. Now, NATO, that's supposed to be an agreement, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we all come together. It's an agreement.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that agreement was everybody gives 2% of their money to NATO for self-defense. We were the only ones doing it. I mean, for decade after decade after decade after decade, Trump got it in his first administration, maybe got one or two to pay. And, you know, we moved us out of other, you know, the ridiculous organizations, WHO, but that's, I digress. But anyway, so Trump got everybody to pay with the exception, well, to commit to pay. We'll see if it all comes in. Except for Spain, who says blatantly, we are going to continue to receive your Golden Dome missile protection, and we're going to continue to receive your military protection because we're all part of NATO, and you signed on the dotted line that if we're all in NATO, then we all have to respond to protect each other against foreign aggression from people outside of NATO. We're going to continue to receive all those benefits, but we refuse to give 2% of our GDP. They have no military, no Navy, no army, no weapons, and they refuse to give 2% of their GDP to NATO for us to defend them, but still expect us to defend them. So Trump says, you know what? I'll get it out of them another way. That's what it means to have a true leader right there. And Canada is basically the same thing. Canada has said, you know what? They've kicked in their money for NATO, so it's not the same thing. But Canada wants to put a considerable tariff on tech going in, products going into Canada. And Trump's like, okay, it's over. It's over. We'll tell you when you're assigned, what your assigned tariff in is and when it kicks in, and all discussion's over. Because here's what Mark Carney's doing. Mark, because NATO's just not about NATO. It's also about trade talks and back rooms during NATO. So Mark Carney's making public statements. We want our primary trading partner to be the European Union. Fine, go across the Atlantic then. And Trump's to say, no problem whatsoever. Then we are removing your military protection. And you can get your military protection from some of those, you know, just super muscular military countries like France. You can get your military protection from all the people who lost World War II and World War I until we got there. You can get all your military protection from them, who really, they have enough nuclear weapons to be a threat, but absolutely no ability to protect you from getting hit by one. So yeah, go ahead and get your protection from them. Here's more, another win by Donald Trump, even though he doesn't know it's a win. Leading report tweet, breaking, Pete Buttigieg is the front runner. Isn't this great? Now you see him down there with his whisker on whisker crime right there in front of the podium. So that's Pete Buttigieg. And you can pull up a myriad of photos with him and his fake, probably memes. So I don't know if they're even real, whatever. But remember how he had to take 6 weeks of maternity leave?
Jeez. When,
actually, I think it was 8. It was 8 weeks. It was a full 2 months of maternity leave after him and his husband stole kids from somebody else. That's the front runner now. So that, and then they do, imagine this. This is what it means to be a Democrat. So you take 8 weeks of maternity leave, and then they take pictures of them both in a hospital bed with the newborns. Why would you be in a hospital bed? You didn't deliver. They come out of your anus? Oh, that's right. Remember those pictures, Aaron? I mean, that's actually being taught to midwives in the UK that potentially it'll get to a place. This is the podcast, not church, so I'm allowed to say this word, this combination of two words. They actually, this is a fact. Aaron and I could show you the data. We showed it on the podcast. They're teaching midwives in the UK that eventually they're going, there it is. They're going to leave that up. They're going to have to deliver babies coming out of men's penis holes. That's a fact. That you could go ahead. You don't believe me? Go right ahead and check it. And I banned myself from saying that from the pulpit. But podcast, it's free reign. All right. So here we are. We have men sitting in a hospital bed, you know, regularly committing whisker on whisker crime with their babies that they stole from somebody. And they're acting like they delivered them. I'm surprised they didn't put tired expressions on their faces. You know, your wife looks after she has a baby, super tired, exhausted, you know, can just disheveled. I'm surprised they didn't do all that too. Why are you sitting in a hospital bed? I mean, this is what it means to be a leftist. It's just all, it's all pageantry. It's all just fake narratives and fake pictures. But now, go back to that one so I can read it. Thanks, guys. Pete Buttigieg is the front runner for the 2028 Democratic presidential nominee. I love it. I hope he is. Mm-hmm. You know, but Sim versus Vance, I would love that. I mean, I would have so much fun with all the gay jokes for that entire 2 years when he runs for president. And you're like, Tom, you'll do that? You're a pastor. Absolutely. I'll make any joke I want. You should hear me preach. I use the gay voice all the time. Scavenuthum. I do it all the time. So Democratic presidential nomination with 16% support, followed by, give me a Kamala, Aaron.
Kamala.
Harris at 13%, Gavin Newsom at 12%. AOC, and according to Aaron, AOC's putting on a lot of weight. We're trying to verify that.
Yeah,
according to Emerson, I love it. I love it. Please run. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, this is just my for my own personal amusement, this segment of the show. I have to admit it. I hope you enjoy it because I'm just going to make fun of leftist media. Earth Hippie video. Is this act? This is about Clarissa Ward is back in the news, and I'll explain to you who she is. Here she is now, commenting on what's going on in Gaza on Stephen Colbert's show. Play it for me.
You've done extensive reporting from the Middle East for years. Do you have a sense of how that region now views the United States? Because this is an unprecedented military action by the United States. While we've had tension with Iran for all these years, we've never bombed them.
Right. I think there was a moment, when Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump were kind of dangling this idea of regime change, that is anathema to people in this region. They remember the invasion of Iraq. They remember the hundreds of thousands of people and the wave of terror and sectarianism and chaos that was unleashed as a result of that.
So why, Tom, are you talking about this? Well, I got to bring up who this person is. These are the people that report the news. Remember, everybody remember who this person is right here. So these are the people who report the news. And occasionally they may get something right. But again, it is literally like, you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then. And they don't. And by the way, they're purposely blind. They're purposely ignorant, which equals stupid. So here she is giving her expertise on what is going on in Gaza. And I just, again, since most Christians and most conservatives, not the red pill people watching this podcast, but most Christians and most conservatives, what's funny about it is they don't listen to these people when it comes to some geopolitical, ideas or things, but then listen to these people lock, stock, and frickin' barrel when it came to COVID. That truly amazed me. Like, they know, because you heard Trump, 17, he's really the one who made up the fake news narrative, made up the fake news phrase. And everybody knew that these people are fake and they're fraudulent and they're liars. But suddenly, when it comes to a respiratory infection, they're all now suddenly going to make a 180-degree repentive turn and tell you the truth. So here she is. I just want to illustrate who these people are, and I'm just going to pick on her for the first couple. Johnny Midnight video, never forget. Here she was in the ditch in the Ukraine, claiming that there was an incoming aerial bombardment. Play for me.
Clarissa is on the ground right now. Clarissa, tell us what's happening.
Stand by.
Hi, John. So forgive me. I have a slightly unelegant position, but we have just had a massive barrage of rockets coming in here, not too far from us. So we have had to take shelter here by the roadside. We're just about 5 minutes away. Gaza is in that direction. We can hear now a lot of jets in the sky. We could also hear the Iron Dome intercepting a number of those rockets as they were whizzing overhead and making impact in that direction, not too far from here. We came to this location because this was ground zero for this entire...
Why does she have to keep being out of breath the entire time? I mean, it's completely fake. And remember this one, Vigilant Fox video. And I'm just illustrating, and again, I'm speaking to a red pilled audience who probably never go to CNN for any sort of update on anything or to get any sort of information. But you just always have to remind everybody who these people are. Because for some reason, they're able to figure out a way to make Christians and conservatives believe them. They are able to figure out a way to lend themselves some measure of authenticity. Because again, all the, basically every Christian in the world never believed any of these people until they pimped COVID, pimped that this was a threat to your life, And that they didn't, nobody believed them when it came to climate change, but for some reason then believed that COVID, that they were telling the truth on COVID. They never believed them when they had, when they were talking about geopolitical affairs, but then believed that they were telling them the truth about COVID, COVID vaccines, masking, and social distancing. Because I can flat out tell you that even in the great state of Florida, where churches were deemed to be essential, every church closed but mine. Where I live, every church closed but mine or mitigated severely but mine. So, I mean, again, for some reason, Christians who don't believe these people ever, the left stream media is able to find an avenue into their mind. Here she is lying again. Vigilant Fox video. She gets brutalized on her fake Syrian prisoner story. Play for me.
I can't tell, though. It might just be a blanket. But it's the only cell that's locked.
Is he going to shoot it?
The guard makes us turn the camera off while he shoots the lock off the cell door. We go in to get a closer look. It's still not clear if there is something under the blanket.
Oh, it moved. Is there someone there? I thought I saw it move. Is someone there? Or is it just a blanket? I don't know.
I think it's someone.
Hello?
Okay, he's just
moving.
Yeah,
it's moved. It's okay.
I'm a civilian, he says. I'm a civilian.
It's okay.
He tells the fighter he's from the city of Homs and has been in the cell for 3 months.
Okay, you're okay.
He clutches my arm tightly with both hands.
Okay. Does anyone have any water? My. Okay, it's water. Okay, you're okay. You're okay.
And even though she never moves, she ends up being out of breath again. Okay. And that's why she's called, why Earth Hippie called her an actress. So the actress is back. And I just illustrate this to everybody because she and everybody else will try to pimp another narrative to you at some point. And it won't be something that's absolutely asinine. It'll be another sort of COVID narrative. Now, they've woken a lot of people up. I didn't need to be woken up. Brent didn't need to be woken up. Aaron didn't need to be woken up. Probably most of you didn't need to be woken up. But a lot of people did. And I'm saying this to those who have been woken up. Don't go back to sleep and suddenly believe people like her. That guy, I mean, could that have been any more staged than it was? Clean cell, clean guy, not disheveled, fat, obviously not thirsty, even though she's forcing water down her throat. Why she hyperventilates after doing nothing. She'd had no physical activity whatsoever except standing there and going like this. That's all she did the entire time.
Water.
And then,
water.
Oh, give him some water. I mean, the guy is fully hydrated and fat. And it turned out, however, after investigating in Homs, that's where this was in this Assad prison, where this innocent Syrian refugee had been placed. Turns out it's a guy by the name of Salama Muhammad Salama. That's his name. Salama Muhammad Salama. A former first lieutenant in Assad's regime's Air Force.
Oh.
One of the most notorious branches of Assad's regime. Known as Abu Hamza, he is often found in the Al Bayada neighborhoods, one of the largest neighborhoods in the city of Homs, specifically on El Zabar Street at the western entrance of the neighborhood, heading a notorious security checkpoint, according to locals. Salama, was responsible for several security checkpoints in Homs and was involved in extortion and controlling people's neighborhoods. He was recently imprisoned due to a dispute over profits with a higher ranking official.
Corruption. And get water.
And that's who Clarissa Ward, in all of her drama, that's who she saved. Amazing. I have to show you these. These are just too funny. I just want to show you how it's all freaking fake. Everything is fake with very few exceptions. That's why I love Trump, no matter whether I agree or disagree. And it doesn't look like I'm going to get to the vaccine section of the show tonight. But anyway, whether I agree or disagree with him, he is definitely not fake, which is a great thing. So let me just show you this because they're fun. All right, Nicola 3 video. Remember these fakes. Play for me.
For only the most extreme moments. They don't issue those lightly. And clearly, the way that we're getting whipped around and battered by this violent wind is enough reason for us, the National Weather Service, to issue those extreme wind warnings. Look, we are on a
all eyes, and of course, hurricanes are all caused by climate change. Of course, here's Anderson Cooper, Ramsey Paul tweet. It's all eyes, and then all the Christians do what they say. It's amazing to me. You're like, Tom, get over it. I've told you this a million times before. I'll get over it when somebody admits they're wrong. I've only heard one person come out and say that they're wrong, and that was Chip Roy in Congress. Not one major Christian name who closed their churches, forced masks, made everybody sit in COVID clumps, did Zoom services for 6 months. Not one of them has ever come out and said they were wrong. Not one locally here, not one nationally, not one bigger name or small name. Nobody's come out and said they were wrong. They believe people like Anderson Cooper, who finds a ditch to stand in, so it looks like it's an actual flood. Let's go to the next one. Pismo video, it's all smoke and mirrors. Play for me. Hey Aaron, just side by side that one for me. This is the perfect example, the living embodiment of everything in the world outside of Jesus. Right there. Look at the guy. He's being moved by the wind. And that other guy, and by the way, the guy ends up doing like a cartwheel in front of the camera. Anyway, there. Look at the guy standing there. Absolutely no problem whatsoever standing there. They make everything that's huge, they make small. Everything that's small, they make huge. Climate change is going to kill the world. Climate change is an existential threat to every human being. White supremacist terrorism is number one threat to every American in the United States. All lies, just like this. COVID, bold-faced lies. Masking, bold-faced lies. Climate change, bold-faced lies. Transgender, bold-faced lies. It's all illustrated in this video, in this right here. All right, let's go to the next one. This one's for Brent. This is his favorite. James Woods video. Here's the woman in the canoe. Play for me.
Good morning, hey Michelle. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, obviously we're getting a nice break from the rain, but not the flooding. This is essentially now a part of the Passaic River in this neighborhood. It rushed in yesterday through the streets, and it's really tough to control a canoe or a boat when you're out in it.
It's really difficult to control a boat or a canoe in 4 inches of water. It's dragging on the bottom. And notice how she just continued. It reminds me of Milli Vanilli when they got caught limp syncing and they just had to continue on with the show. That's what it reminded me of, Ashley Simpson, when she got caught limp syncing and she just had to continue on with the show. That's what she's doing. Look at this. That's hard to control. There's no water movement at all.
The boat's not even
moving. The boat's, yeah, Brent just said, boat's not even moving. The only movement, it's hard to control. The only movement is you with your oar. The boat's not moving. And you just see how you're lied to all the time. Lied to about World War I. Lied to about World War II. You have these various instigations of all of these conflicts every time, whether it's by Netanyahu, whether it's by Winston Churchill, whether it's a conglomeration of Winston Churchill and FDR for Pearl Harbor. Everything you see is a lie. This is what they do. Now we just have, that's the good thing about social media. It's easier to expose them. All right, let's go to the next one. Real fly video. Oh, another wind example. Play for me.
Good to get up here in Wilmington, North Carolina, right at the Intercoastal, and we're in one of these bands. This is about as nasty as it's been. We had some bands like this last night. Then the eyeball this morning, we were not on TV. It was a dark, raucous night at the hotel. And this wind gusting again over 60 miles an hour.
He's in the brace. He's in the brace, and he rocks himself. He's rocking himself, and the guys just casually stroll by. He's played, gets himself in position. And by the way, if you've ever been, look at him. I mean, you're an idiot. Boy, I miss cussing right now. You just are an idiot. You just, I mean, you really are. And if those of us that have actually been through a Cat 5 storm, you ain't standing in that freaking thing. Good luck. Good luck standing in that storm. And I just have to show you this one. Go to the next pick for me. Temperatures actually go down. So either the top pick is how they showed the temperatures in 2017. And then the whore, the climate change agenda, they show them all in red as the temperatures have gone down. All right, nice short show. 10:13, that's good. All right, appreciate you guys. In the Rant, Charlie 340, 50 bucks. Thank you so much. Patriot Wolverine, $40. Thank you so much. Steven, 63 Yogi, $25. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Steven. Thank you. Robin Aroni, $20. Thank you guys so much. In the Rant, thank you guys so much in the chat. Don't forget, join us at Foundation Church this Sunday. Let's break our 1,800 live viewers record this Sunday. Trump is great. Big, huge wins this week. Awesome wins. He's winning. Trump administration is great, but he's not Jesus. No person is. You've got to have Jesus. If you want a church that is like this podcast, we are unequivocal. We do not bend. We do not bend, and we do not bend over. Never closed, never will, never masked, never social distance. I don't pimp and whore for anybody. Preach the word of God. That's it. So join us this Sunday at Foundation Church, whether live or in person. You see the address on the bottom. If you can drive here, introduce yourself at the door. If you're in the chat, there's a lot of you. I recognize your names. I've met a lot of you at the door of the church. Appreciate you guys coming. But anyway, love you. If I don't see you on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., I'll see you at 9 o'clock Monday night. Love you all. God bless you. See you then.